I like the book of Psalms. When I was in Bible college, you had like 30 seconds to find every book of the Bible when they said something. Psalms, if you have a Bible, just open it in the center and you're in Psalms. That made it pretty easy. It's one of my favorite books just because of that. But the book of Psalms, I want to talk to you today about God being enough. I think sometimes we lose the perspective that God's enough. He's the one that created us. And gosh, if he created us, he surely can heal us, right? He surely can set us on the right path. He surely can give us some word for the future and how to live this life that he created us for and that he gave us a purpose for in abundance. I had someone make a remark to me a while back. What is the reason that you go to church every Sunday? You hear the same thing over and over. This is, you hear Jesus over and over and over. I don't know about you, but folks that have a habit of drinking are thrilled that there's a happy hour on a Wednesday at the bar because they can go there and get recharged. I think that's the same thing with Christians. We ought to be happy that every Sunday there's a happy hour that we can go to church and get recharged. I don't know about you. Do you know that vision leaks? You know that vision leaks? Now, if you're not a leader, you may be saying, okay, well, number one, what's vision? Number two, who cares? But if you lead in anything at all, you lead your family. You tell them that this is what we do as a family. This is the way we conduct ourselves. This is the ethics that we have, a work ethic or whatever. These are the ethics we have. And these are just who we are as a family. And you teach that and you teach those principles of that over and over and over to your kids. Do you know why? Because vision leaks. They'll forget it. That you can fill them up depends on the age, you can fill them up and they'll leak out in 10 minutes. I know when I was 14, 15 years old, I didn't just leak. I had a hole. It went out just fast as it come in. Mom and Dad would tell me something, and it was awful how quick it went out. I didn't need their wisdom because I already knew everything. How many of you remember when they had World Book Encyclopedias? You got to be old to remember World Book Encyclopedias. We had a whole set of World Book Encyclopedias. Matter of fact, the salesman had come back at the end of the year after you've spent $45,000 for those things. They were horribly expensive. After you had spent all that money for them, and they'd sell you another book that kept you updated on the things that was already in the World Book Encyclopedia. Well, after about 4 years of them coming back and back and back, I was 14, 15 years old, encyclopedia salesman come to the house, and he went into a spiel. My dad said, we don't need them no more. And he said, well, why wouldn't you need them? They need updates. He said, no, we don't need them no more. And he hollered, Max, come here. I run in the living room, stand, what do you want, Dad? He said, I'd like to introduce you to the salesman here. He said, Mr. Salesman, this is my son, Max. He's 14 years old. He knows everything. If we need to know anything, we'll ask Max. We don't need an encyclopedia. And you don't need to go anywhere on this mile because he's got a bicycle. And I'll just send him anywhere. Vision leaks. And I think that we need to be reminded of the things of God, because if we're not reminded of those, then we'll forget them. We can get discouraged. We can start heading down the wrong road. And we need to get together with people who have like faith. And we need to encourage each other. And we need to praise the Lord. And we need to learn his word. King Hezekiah, say that word. Hezekiah. Oh, do it again. Hezekiah. Yeah, one more time. Hezekiah. Look at your neighbor and say, ain't you glad you don't have that name? Can you imagine trying to spell that in kindergarten? Bless God. King Hezekiah of Judah was surrounded by the army of Sennacherib. Oh my, Sennacherib. Say that word, Sennacherib. Yeah, nobody even wants to say it, do you? Sennacherib, forget it. King of Assyria, 46 towns and villages in Judah had been sacked by King Sennacherib. Over 200,000 residents had been taken captive along with much spoil. Do you know what spoil is in the Bible when you read spoil? It doesn't mean the stuff that's spoiled. It means the good stuff. And at least 185,000 troops surrounded Jerusalem. Somebody say, uh-oh. And it looked like only a matter of time before the city fell. But proud Sennacherib did not reckon with the fact that Hezekiah's God is the living God who will not be mocked. Say, uh-oh again. And this is a good uh-oh. The other one was a bad uh-oh. This is a good uh-oh. Hezekiah prayed, God spoke, and in one night the angel of the Lord defeated Sennacherib by killing 185 of his soldiers. And they wrote a song about it. And it's recorded in Psalms 46. And this is thought to be the song that was recorded over King Hezekiah praying to the Lord and the Lord delivering Jerusalem from Sennacherib when it was surrounded by 185,000 troops. So here's what the song says. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. And then there's a word in your Bible that says Selah. And it's not universally recognized by all Bible scholars what that word means. It's a musical term. And their musical terms were probably somewhat different back when they wrote this than they are today. I think that for me, this is what I believe when I read it, that it means pause before you go into the next verse. Right? Am I close, Jason? What do you think? Yeah, so they're singing this first verse. God is a refuge and strength, our ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Could you imagine that? The earth fell off into the sea, and they said, we're not going to fear. Though the waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging pause. Next verse. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdom falls. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Pause. Then he goes on to say this, come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Pause. I think that when you go home, I invite you to read these passages of Scripture and read them and get the idea why there's a pause. It's like different thoughts about what was going on. The introduction of this says, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. And that's what I'd like us to focus on today, along with the end of this song, be still and know that I'm God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. God of Jacob is our fortress. These were the words that were sang as a testimony to the work of God. And it teaches us that when trouble strikes, God is enough to get us through. And we need to be reminded of that. And so did these people. They needed to be reminded of that because new trouble come. And maybe they weren't there when that thing happened in Jerusalem. That was a story to them, and they needed to be reminded of the great things that God did, the same way that you and I do. Diane, are you getting ready? Oh. be the worst Sunday that Diane ever had, won't it? God is enough in times of trouble to get us through. Say that with me. God is enough. Yeah, say it again. God is enough. How many of you are going through a tough time? How many of you need to be reminded that God is enough? Yeah, I just sometimes I wonder, holy smokes, is that true? Is God enough to get me through this? Because I've gone through troubles that nobody else has ever seen. You know, times have been harder for me than they ever have anybody else. Yeah, and that's not true, is it? But boy, it seems like that when it's happening to us. Let me say this to you. It doesn't matter how much you love God or how much you're dedicated to God or how closely you follow God, trouble will strike the godly. So it is like, well, then what am I doing here? Well, trouble will strike everybody because we live in a fallen world. That's just the fact that we live in a messed up place and trouble is going to strike everybody. Now, you can have trouble strike you without God or you can have trouble strike you with God. I've been in both sides. I'm going to promise you it's better to have trouble strike you with God than without Him because you have nowhere to turn as trouble strikes you and you don't have God. I mean, you got yourself, and you got your friends, but I'm going to tell you what, they are not enough. God is enough, but they are not enough. The abundant life that God promises us, remember Jesus said, I've come so that you may have life and have it abundantly? The abundant life is not a trouble-free life. And the fact that God is a refuge and strength doesn't mean that we're immune from problems. It doesn't. We live in a fallen world, and many of us are not ready yet for heaven. And so Rick Warren says that this life here on this earth is like kindergarten for heaven. You know how kindergarten gets you ready for grade school? This life here on this earth gets us ready for heaven, and there are some of us who are not yet fit for heaven. Don't name no names or point at anybody. You know, some of us need some more experiences so that we can be ready for heaven. We have work to do. We have things to learn. I had someone ask me just recently, why am I still here? And I said to them, well, evidently God's got work for you to do yet. Evidently He's not done with you. How many of you went through something really close call and you went, holy smokes, that should have been it? I'd probably been 5-6 years ago in the middle of wintertime in a snowstorm was awful. I mean, sideways snow blow all over the place, drifts everywhere in the world. And a young guy from Antwerp committed suicide, shot himself that day. And you know, it's a little tiny community, and the kids in the community were devastated. And so the Methodist Church had opened their doors, and the school announced that they were having a thing at the Methodist Church, and that you could come there, and it was a time of to support each other, the kids to be able to support each other. And they asked pastors from the community to come in to be available to pray and counsel with the kids. They had more kids than they thought they were going to have, and the pastor called me and said, Mac, can you come over here? I know you're in Defiance, but can you come? Just get her when you can, but we need some help with the kids. I run out, jumped in the car, and headed out. It's snowing like crazy. I got out on Dahmersville Road, and I was going way too fast for the road conditions. You couldn't see the wind was blowing. You know what that's like. And I'm buzzing down the road, and I saw a snowplow before I pulled out. A snowplow went right ahead of me, scattering salt, plowing, you know. And I thought, wow, that's good. And so, I'm going down the road, and all at once, there was that snowplow stopped in the middle of the road. I mean, just stopped. And I couldn't get stopped. And on the back of it was one of those salt things with teeth sticking out about this high. And then it was a long ways to the wheels of that truck. And I'm sliding up through there sideways, and there's no hope of getting stopped. I mean, I knew that I'm not going to get stopped at all. Telephone pole right there. And I thought, man, if I hit that truck, that thing is going to come right through the windshield. And so I pulled out and passed that truck. dumbest thing in the world. I mean, the snow was blowing so hard you couldn't see anything. And I got past that truck, and there was this young girl that had stopped in the middle of the road and was standing there banging her windshield wipers off. And I just got past her, and here come a car the other direction. And that's what I said. I thought, all the way to Antwerp at 10 mile an hour, I said, Lord, you must not be done with me. Because not only did I miss the telephone pole, did I miss the truck, but I missed a head-on collision. All in just a split second like that. Trouble will strike the godly just as well as it will the ungodly. I looked it up the other day on October 24th. I went to see the doctor because I had sinusitis. And it gave me a sore throat. October 24th. And it just kept getting worse and worse and worse and worse. Almost the whole month of December, I couldn't talk. Luann, by the way, was just thrilled, just tickled to death. I went and seen the doctor, and long story short, 5 different steroid, either shots or pills, 4 different antibiotics, and here I am, like 4 months later. I'm thinking, what in the world? What's going on? Why this? Now, Jason asked me the other day, he said, Max, does it give you anxiety to know that you can't talk and it's been this long and you still can't talk, and when you try to talk, then it goes away? And I said, well, not until you said that. but no, really hasn't. And have I got discouraged? No. Have I learned a ton about shut up, be still, and know that I'm God? I have diarrhea of the mouth uncontrolled. I mean, it's untreated. I haven't even treated it before. And to have, I had 3 doctors told me, you just got to shut up. You just got to be quiet. Luann and I took a week and went to Michigan. We had a friend that's got a house in Michigan, a cabin of sorts. And man, it's out in the middle of nowhere. I'm not kidding you. It's in a forest. And there's... There is no TV that we knew about. When we got home, we discovered they did have TV, but we didn't know they did. There was no internet. There was no data that we could pick up unless we stood one place and held our tablets up like this. And then the doctor said, don't talk. I had discovered for the first time in my life, Luann asks 1,000 questions an hour. She does. She just talks and questions. I didn't know that. Now, it's no wonder I talk so much. Luann primes me all the time. And she would ask me a question, and she would go, you don't have to answer that. Yes, I do. I mean, how can you ask somebody a question and then just say, you don't have to answer that. And then to ask you another question and to smile. And then another one, and another one, and another one. And sometimes it got to where she would ask a question, and she would answer it for me in a way that she wanted it answered. It was horrible. I spent a week like that. I got my voice back. I come back Monday, and the doctor said, we have this inhaler we want you to use. This little puppy, stick it in your mouth, shove it down. And I'm not going to tell you what I thought it was like. But anyway, it was like the days of marijuana. If any of you get that, way back when. But, yeah. And I squirted that thing, and it went, yah, into my mouth, and my voice instantly went away. Everything that I gained in that week, I lost with one puff. I talk like this for 4 days. After that, and I thought, Lord, what are you doing? And I'm sure that he said, I'm not done with you yet. There are some things that you need to learn. And you know what? And I want to talk to you about that. God's given me a word to give you. I'll talk to you about that in a couple of weeks, about what I think that happened. My illness, by the way, this little thing with my voice is nothing. It really is nothing compared to what Corey Carroll is facing with cancer. It's nothing. It's nothing. It's nothing compared to what Pauline Adolf is facing with cancer. There's nothing compared to what Cheryl Davis is facing with cancer. What Dave Corwin's battle with cancer. Who right now in our church, all of them are battling with cancer at the same time. It's nothing compared to what Joy Wright is facing. Having one stroke right after another with heart problems. It's nothing compared to what's happening with Gary Gerhardt and his battle with heart disease. It's nothing compared to what's happening to them. I heard it said that when a man comes to the end, that's where he most often finds God's beginning. Isn't that something? And the end is different places for all of us. The end is different places for us, depending on where we are in life and its situations. The end comes quicker sometimes than it does in other times, you know it. When I've come to the end of my rope, that's usually where God's beginning is. I know God is faithful because I know of his history. I know that God delivered Hezekiah and his people, and he's big enough to deliver me and these that I've mentioned that are going through this tough time. And he's big enough to deliver you. And as the song testifies, even if the mountains fall into the sea, I can still have peace that God's in control. When trouble strikes, God is enough to get us through. And trouble will strike the godly, just like it strikes the ungodly. But I want you to know this. God often uses troubles to move his purposes forward. Romans 8:28. Let me see if I can have it memorized. I might have put it in your bulletin. God works together for the good of his people. It works all things together for the good. There it is. For those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Causes everything, even the bad things, to work together for good. How many of you know Amanda McDormand? Do you know her? Who Amanda is? How about this? How many of you know Bill and Cordella Smith? Do you know them? Yeah, a good number of you do. Some of you don't. Bill and Cordella, Amanda and Dale used to go to church here a long time ago. Bill and Cordella have two daughters. They have Kelly and they have Amanda. Kelly's a little older than Amanda. Kelly's married to Drew Gardner. Drew Gardner was called by God while he was still in college to be a pastor. And he was in college to be a lawyer. How does that work? When he graduated college, he joined what's called the Christian Law Association. The Christian Law Association does work free for churches and people who are fighting battles that have been discriminated against by our government, other people, all kinds of things like that. I've used the Christian Law Association for our church over and over and over. And they've never charged us a penny. We used to send money to the Christian Law Association when Drew was a part of that. And they've been a tremendous help to us. Drew served on the Christian Law Association for years and years and years. And then he felt that God was calling him back to our area. This is where he was born and raised, went to school, he and Kelly both. And they took over a church in Paulding and served in that church in Paulding for a good number of years. He left the church in Paulding, went to Fort Wayne, and he was superintendent of a Christian school in Fort Wayne. Just recently, they've moved to Michigan, and they live in Michigan, and Drew and Kelly are in charge of a retreat center that has kids and adults and all kinds of people come into the retreat center. It's like a camp on a lake. It's just an awesome thing. A couple years ago, Drew and Kelly, Amanda and Dale's mom, Cordella, was diagnosed with cancer. And she had cancer of the pancreatic cancer. Just pancreatic cancer is sometimes a horribly painful cancer.
And Cordella struggled with and fought the cancer for a couple years. She passed away, and I believe it was May or June of this past year. Right after she passed away, Drew and Kelly sold their house, and they were moving to Michigan, or they had their house for sale, had not sold yet. They were coming home one evening to go to their house to do some finishing touches on it because there was some people coming looking at it. And they've got, how many kids do they have, Kelly? Or 10? They have 10 kids. And the kids are with them, the ones that aren't grown, in the van. And they just got close enough to the house they could see, and here comes a car and runs through their house. 450 Mercedes-Benz. Is that right, Bryce? A 450 Mercedes-Benz? It was a nice car. Clear through their house. Out the other side and into their pond. And it was frozen at the time, and it sat there. It just sat there running. And he said, I looked at my wife and said, did the car just run through our house? And she said, yeah. And they drove up there, and the car's sitting out there on the ice. And he's thinking, oh, my gosh, it's not going to sit on that ice long. And he called, 911 and the EMS squad and the police and everything come out there. And just as they got there, the car broke through the ice. And I mean went all the way through the ice. And the people from the fire department had to dive down in the water. And it took them 5 minutes to get this guy out. And when they got him up on the bank, they were bringing him back to life and stuff like that. So haul him off to the hospital. Drew called his homeowner's insurance because the house is wide open. I mean, front and back. And calls homeowner's insurance and told him what happened. He said, I can't wait for this guy's insurance to get it. I don't even know if he's going to live or anything. And so they fixed his house and canceled him. His mother-in-law just passed away, Kelly's mom, and then this thing with the house. And then they're moving, and they're moving 10 kids, and they got a new job. And his father, and then they got this 15-passenger van. He hit a deer with that 15-passenger van and totaled it. And then his father-in-law, who's helping the family through grief, come up to visit Amanda, who just moved to Michigan. And all of that that comes with moving. And while he was up there, he started having trouble breathing. And he had a bout with some emphysema. They thought he might have pneumonia. They took him to the hospital. 2 weeks later, he died because he had cancer all over his body. And then about 9 hours later, his mom died. Their grandmother, the kid's grandmother. While they're making arrangements to have a double funeral, Drew hit another deer and totaled another van. And now he believes his car insurance is going to cancel him. Now you would think, what in this world is happening with that family? Why would God allow such an ugly thing to take place in a family like that? Because they love the Lord and they have done nothing but spend their whole life serving Him. Drew called and said, Max, could you help me with this funeral? He said, I did my mom's funeral, I did my dad's funeral, I did my mother-in-law's funeral. I cannot do my father-in-law's funeral. I just can't. There's too much that happened, and I just can't do that. And so I told him, yeah, I would love to do that. We got together and put together a message. He said this, please tell the people about salvation in Jesus Christ. Please do that. I have some of my family that are estranged from God, that are far away from God, and I think they need to hear a message about God's love for them and an invitation. So that's what I did. I got a text from Kelly this week. I'd like to read it to you. This was a text that was written to Kelly's sister, Amanda, by someone that was there. I just wanted to tell you on New Year's, I decided I need to make some changes in my life and that I needed a clear head. So I've yet to drink. This person had an alcohol problem. I've been in a slump for a while and just miserable. So I've been making changes. But during your dad's funeral, they were talking about being saved, and it spoke volumes to me. I felt peace that I'd been looking for. As I sat in the back of the funeral home, crying uncontrollably with Amy and Riley, I have to look at this again, it's in two pieces, looking at me like I was crazy, I decided right then and there to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Now, I want to say this to you about this and what took place in Drew and Kelly and Dale and Amanda's lives. I don't believe God orchestrated that much trouble for them. I don't believe he did that. I don't believe God said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. See this godly family over here? I think I'll just rain hell on them. I don't think that's what happened at all. I believe that they live in a fallen world. I believe that Billy Joe smoked cigarettes his whole life and it gave him cancer. I believe that his mother was 93 years old and her time was up. I have no idea why Cordella got pancreatic cancer. Maybe one day we'll understand pancreatic cancer better so that we'll be able to know that. I have no idea why. Well, I do have an idea. Drew now lives in a place where the deer are everywhere. That's why he hit a couple of deer. Everybody's hitting a couple of deer where he's at. So, you know, that's probably why that happened. But I do know this. I do know that God takes horrible things. God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to their purpose. Only God could take something so horrible as all of those circumstances and turn them around. And somebody sitting in the midst of that said, I need their God. I mean, what an awesome thing that is. Isn't that amazing? That something so horrible could happen as that. And in the very midst of that, in the very midst of all of those terrible things, somebody's sitting there going, that's what I needed so that I could find God. I don't know about you, but that to me is just astounding. It helps me understand that God's enough. God's enough. No matter what I'm going through, no matter what situation that I'm in, God is enough. And I know that trouble will strike the godly just like it strikes ungodly. But I also know this, that God often uses troubles to move his purposes forward. Be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. I think today we might say that in our language here in the United States. We might say that like this. Relax, God's in charge. He'll take care of us in ways that will only astound you, but it will bring him glory among his people. Relax, God is enough. He's in charge, no matter what happens to us. So let me ask you this question. Do you know that God's enough? Do you know that? Have you trusted him so that that's a part of your life, that you can know that God's enough? I know it, but I need to learn it over and over. Does that make any sense to you? I know it. I know that. But I just need to hear it over and over because I leak. Vision leaks. So here's what I think that we can do. Maybe here's the takeaway from this. If you read his word and see his promises, you can be reassured that God's enough. If you sing his songs of praises that remind you of his greatness, I think that you can see that God is enough. I think if you look for his miracles and his handiwork, I think you can see and know that God is enough. I think if you learn to trust in him, it will help you over and over to know that God is enough. We live in a world that will try to convince us of something else. We live in a world that says that there are no absolutes, that nothing is good enough, and there's just no truth. And so I think it's important that we're here every week to know that God is enough. Diane, I made it. Say, God is enough. Yeah. Thank you for your prayers this morning, Diane. I appreciate that. Let's stand, okay?